WEEI Afternoons, Christian Arcan, Andy Hart, you at 617-779-7937 as we continue to react to the Red Sox. Pulling up a chair to the big boy table, making a trade. Garrett Crochet joining the team. A quartet of prospects heading to Chicago. And for more on that, joining us right now, WEEI and Nesson, Red Sox broadcaster, and our good friend Lou Merlone joins the program. Lou, how we doing?
Oh, we're doing a lot better now. I'm not going to lie to you. Like I can feel like I can breathe again and kind of, okay, now I can sit back because it was getting pretty stressful there. They were trying to thread a needle. But ultimately, they got the guy that I wanted. Like, Garrett Crochet, as I said before, is a pig. Mm. He is filthy. He is young. And I think he's about to take off. We'll see if it's going to be here, hopefully.
Any reservation about the fact that he's only had one real full season pitching in the majors at 25 years old? Is that something that you took into consideration when you were going over the idea of trading for this guy?
No, not really, just because of his path. You know, he was drafted and he went right to the big leagues, and he was a reliever, you know, in 2021, and he had a pretty good year. So right away, he was, you know, got right taste of the big leagues and started using up this service time, and then missed 2 years because of Tommy John. So, you know, he was arbitration eligible with like 1 year in the big leagues, or even less, I guess you would say. So he is what he is, but in which, you know, the history of the injuries is the reason why last year was what it was in that second half. But I saw him in June. I watched his starts leading up to it. Going into June, mid-June, end of June, he was everything Scooble was. He just got shut down, basically.
Lou, I'm with you. I came in here today expecting to be all cranky and bitch about it. And all of a sudden, everything changed right before we went on the air, and I'm happy. So the only question I do have, and we always ask this about every big acquisition, playing at Fenway Park, playing in Boston. This is the guy we heard those rumblings, oh, I'm not going to be traded unless I get an extension. I won't pitch in the postseason. What's your understanding of kind of guy they're getting, kind of fit he'll be in the clubhouse and in Boston?
Yeah, I don't know the guy personally. I think a lot of that was completely overblown. You know, when you're a pitcher, when you're a player in the big leagues, you're your own company.
Yep.
And this guy at 100 innings July 3rd, and there was, if you go look at from that point on, he basically threw three or four innings the rest of the year. They kept him around 50 or 60 pitches because he had thrown 12 and two-thirds innings in 2 years. He had missed 2 years. He was so dominant, there was no way that this guy was going to throw 200 innings or 180. And if he was to be traded, and somebody actually thought that they could use him in October, which is why nobody traded him, because they knew it wasn't realistic, and as a starter, like, he's protecting himself. He's like, I just went through 2 years of Tommy John. And if you guys think you're going to roll me out there for the next 3 months and throw me 200 innings, I'm going to miss two more years of Tommy John. And the Garrett Crochet industry is not going to be doing very well. So he reacted, and I'm sure his agent reacted. And it was like, you want to blow me out? Give me an extension so I can sit home and make money. Other than that, I'm not going anywhere. I'm going to throw 140, and then next year I'll be able to take off and go to 180 and end up getting paid someday.
So you don't think there will be any necessarily any limitations? I know he had 30-something starts, but the innings were low. You don't think they will have to be dealing with any limitations August, September next year?
No, I don't, because he gave you 145. And like I said, if you look at the game logs, everybody's talking about the second half. It was three innings, four innings, 56 pitches, every single start. They could have just shut him down, you know, and let him have like five more starts and then just shut him down at the deadline. But they wanted to keep him throwing. And I think, you know, there's a couple outings. I think the Red Sox actually got him late in the year, and somebody else got him. But there was a lot of four innings, one run, eight strikeouts mixed in there as well. So it was controlled. You know, everybody kept talking about Houck and Crawford and inning totals. You know, they got to their 180. This guy got to 145, totally comfortable with 180, 185 next year, 90, whatever.
Lou, what do you consider Crochet's ceiling to be? All-star, MVP, Cy Young? Like, what are we talking about here?
Well, Cy Young candidate. I mean, that's a ceiling, whether he gets there or not. I mean, he's got to stay healthy. I'm not saying this guy is an absolute lock. You know what I mean? There's risk with everybody. You know, not one pitcher doesn't have injury risk, but as far as ceiling goes, like, it's Blake Snell. You know, it's Tarik Skubal. And as dominant as he was last year, if you go look at his career, you know, the year before, he only had 80 innings and 15 starts. I don't think people would have the same questions last December if they had traded for some guy like, you know, Tarik Skubal, who's only thrown for 3 years and he's been okay. But sometimes you got to just watch the guy throw, look at his stuff, look at some of the numbers, the swing and miss, and it's absolutely elite.
We're talking with Lou Merlone, Nesson, WEEI, Red Sox broadcast. Lou, the prospect package that was sent to Chicago, reminiscent of the Chris Sale package. The Josh Beckett one is another one that sort of popped up there. Any reservations about moving on from Kyle Teal with the catcher position having some uncertainty here in this organization and some of the other guys? Would you consider that a overpay, regular pay, underpay, what?
Well, first off, I've already forgotten who they've given up because I only give a rat's ass about who plays in April of this year, not in April of 2027. You know, you got enough of this. Like, start cashing them in, and they did it, I think, for the right guy. We'll see. They give up a lot. You're supposed to give up a lot because of the ceiling he has. Like, Kyle Teal, I don't think, is going to be the best player in this package. You know, the top four is tiered. It's Anthony and it's the other kid, Campbell. You know, Meyer, he's got to stay healthy. They still love him. But Teal was always, and I mean always, labeled a high-floor prospect. You know, he's not Adley Rutschman. You know what I mean? He's not Buster Posey. You know, is he the best catching prospect they've had in a while? Yes, but that doesn't mean much because they haven't had much since Tech. So, to me, it's like he's a big leaguer. I just don't know if he's like an impact big leaguer. Brayden Montgomery, and we don't even know him yet. He could end up hurting more than the other guys, but you know, whatever. I don't care. I really don't. You kept your top three guys. You kept Abreu. You kept Casas. You kept Crawford. Like, you're trying to win right now. And those three guys that I mentioned, those prospects, can help you this year.
Do you think we'll be hearing about a contract extension or contract talks with Crochet anytime soon? Or they take the value they can get for a year and kick that can down the road a little bit?
Well, he's already in arbitration, right? So if he has the year that you hope he's having, that's going to jump year two. And then year three is going to be a big number. So yep. I don't see why you would wait around. I don't know him personally. I don't know his. I don't even know who his agent is. Some guys with the injury history that he has had probably would jump at an extension. He may be a guy that's just like, no, look around. I'm going to go for 2 years, and if you want me back here, you can bring me back here. So I don't know the answer to that. All I know is that you're a better ball club for the next couple of years, and then we'll go from there.
Garrett Crochet, CAA Sports is what it says on sporttrack.com. Okay, so Crochet now in place. Mm-hmm. Opening day starter is set. What's the next move?
Corbin Burns. I'm not done.
Wow, I like it.
No, but I think, is that a reach? Probably. I don't know. Just take. But they haven't spent money yet.
Right.
This guy's $2.9 million. Like, we always felt there would be a trade and a signing. So here's the thing, though. It allows me to breathe. Like, if they didn't bring in a guy like Crochet or that ilk, and they tried to sell you and Walker Buehler was the big guy, right? Mm-hmm. Or even Jack Flaherty. Maybe he isn't a one-year wonder. I don't know. I wouldn't trust that, though. You know what I mean? I'd be like, well, I still want to wait and see. But now that you got this guy in the fold, if you go get a high-upside Buehler, if you go get a Jack Flaherty, or if you dive into another guy that the computer spits out and says, yeah, we like him, I can live with that a little bit more, knowing that I got a high ceiling, a potential guy in Crochet. So I still want another starter. I want an adult in the bullpen, you know, a high leverage guy, kind of like Chris Martin role to go with Chapman and Hendricks, and probably that right-handed bat.
Do you have a preference on the right-handed bat? I know a lot of people, there's been a lot of Bregman talk, and I know Alex Cora talked him up nice. Some of us look at his numbers and say, huh, he kind of peaked 5 years ago.
Declining a bit. Yeah.
Getting a little older. The numbers are declining. Where would your preference be with the bat?
Well, I think, you know, I do like Teoscar, you know. It's funny because they keep denying this Devers move off of third, you know, to first and Casas. And maybe it doesn't play out because you're not dealing Casas now. Maybe you are. I don't know. But it's just strange because I know a lot of people over there like the Damas, you know, and they like Bregman. And they've had talks with Arenado. And they all play third. You know, I don't buy like the move, you know what I mean? Like, and I also understand why publicly they're going against it so strong of talking about Devers being moved off. You don't have that conversation with Rafi Devers in case you sign someone. You sign someone first, and then you have that conversation with Devers. So publicly, it's sort of like, you know, you never announce that a guy, listen, we're going to trade you. And he gets all flustered. He gets all pissed off. He hates everybody. And then 2 seconds later, you're like, you know what? It fell through. We'd love to have you back. You know, so there's no reason to talk to him about moving to third until you trade for Arenado or you sign Bregman, and then you have those discussions.
Speaking of discussions, in the Bregman reporting, it might have been Sean McAdam, I'm forgetting, but there was some talk of how there was sort of split within the organization, and one of the voices was Sam Kennedy.
Yeah.
Is Sam Kennedy a voice in baseball decisions right now?
Yeah, you know, he's the president, but it's funny because you don't look at him as like Larry Lucchino.
Right.
You know what I mean? And but he's still the president of the team. He's in all these meetings. He's given opinions, things like that. I thought it was, first off, the interesting part was the fact that it was just made public. I don't think the fact that a general manager and a manager or anybody in an organization disagrees on who to bring in. I think that's extremely common. We usually see it at the deadline. But you'd imagine in those rooms, there's no way if a manager really wants a player or a GM doesn't like him, he wants someone else. And that happens all the time. The crazy thing with this one is that it actually got out. I think more than anything.
Has ownership felt the heat this offseason, would you say, Lou? Because there was a lot of talk about, you know, it's the same crap we've been hearing. And they're going to be interested in all these guys. They're not going to do what it takes money-wise. We're talking free agents here, not so much trades. Not going to do what it takes to spend that kind of money. Would you say that the message is sort of broken through to John Henry and Werner and those guys and that they're feeling a need to react here?
Can I say we'll see?
Sure. We do a radio show, Lou. You should know that.
And I totally understand. But it's like, they made the big trade that I want. They got a starting pitcher for 2.9 pre-arbitration. So it wasn't like, you know, they're sitting there. You know, the information about Fried, right? They were a year off, it seemed like. It's sort of like, why? Like, why? Why were you a year off? Like, you give 8 years. I don't see anybody in New York complaining about an overpayment for Max Fried. I see them just talking about Cole and Fried on top of that rotation, how much they love it. And that's going to be the same thing. You know, like, if you went out and gave Burns, like, 9,280, and you jumped everybody else, no one's going to give a rat's ass how much you pay him when he is, like, a Cy Young candidate in your rotation. So, yeah, they made a nice trade, which is good. But you do want to see them go out in free agency and spend some money here now and really kind of put this team in a position where they can compete in a wide-open AL East.
They made this trade without altering the big league roster, and there's been a lot of talk that somebody's got to go. Like, there might be a logjam at various – you mentioned Casas staying going, Yoshi staying going, the DH position, whatever. Mm-hmm. Who do you think needs to go? Forget who they should go after, but do you think there's a couple guys that just flat-out need to go?
I don't think they need to. You know what I mean? I don't think you need to ship anybody out. Like, I've never felt like you needed to trade Casas. I always felt like his name came up because you were fishing in a different pond. Like, you know, when you start trading for guys with a year or two before arbitration, you know, you don't have to give up Casas. But if you swing and miss and all of a sudden now you're going after a guy with 4 or 5 years of control, like maybe what's going on down in Pittsburgh, if they make Jones or Bubba Chandler available, William Abreu ain't getting that deal done.
Right.
He's just not. You know what I mean? So then you got to include some guys. And that's the only thing. He's just a different level of player if you want to fish for that type of starting pitcher. So, but I would say Abreu, Casas, Yoshida, you know, are they still in play? I guess it still depends on what they're looking for. They already made one major trade.
That is the voice of Lou Maloney. You can hear him calling Red Sox games here at WEEI and on Nesson as well. Lou, thanks so much for the impromptu drop in here today. Always great to talk with you.
All right, guys, have a good week.
All right, see ya, Happy Lou. Happy Lou. No longer Angry Lou or Angry Andy. We got Happy everybody.
Everybody's
here.
Happy, even you.
Even Happy Arcade.
Right.
I mean, when do you ever
never
get to see that?
No, I've worked, how long are we doing this? 4 months?
Yeah, books almost this. 4 months.
I've never seen Happy Arcade.
Well, now you've seen it.
I kind of like Happy Arcade.
Yeah, Happy Arcade.
Yeah, it's a lot more fun.
It's not much to be happy about lately. Other than the Celtics, there hasn't been much to be happy about.
You watch those
to be happy
Bruins?
About today.
Two stories we're discussing all day long here on Jones and Keefe on WEEI. Number one, Bill Belichick to the University of North Carolina. It's official. Why does the NFL not want Bill Belichick? I think that's become pretty clear over the last 24 to 48 hours. So we'll get to your thoughts on that. 617-779-7937. That's story 1A, I should call it. 1B, neck and neck with Bill Belichick is the Red Sox and their acquisition of Garrett Crochet at the winter meetings, something we've been pining for, a move that the Red Sox have made. And fortunately, it sounds like they're not done. But we don't have the answers on that, Keith.
Who does?
We have lots of opinions.
Yes, we do.
Many, many thoughts. Some of them good, some not so good.
Right.
So let's get some answers here from someone who would know. That would be Chief Baseball Officer of the Boston Red Sox, Craig Breslow, joining us here on Jones and Keefe on WEEI. Craig Breslow, how you doing?
I'm good, thanks. How are you doing?
We're doing great. Much better after the move yesterday. We admittedly were starting to freak out a little bit as the winter meetings went on and the Red Sox hadn't netted anyone. Now Garrett Crochet, a Boston Red Sox. What are the Red Sox getting in Garrett Crochet?
Yeah, I think we're incredibly excited about what Garrett is capable of doing. I think we're getting a bona fide number one starter guy who can anchor a rotation, has just premium stuff from the left side and think that his best days are ahead of him. Obviously still new to the starting role, and a ton of reason for excitement and optimism, but like huge stuff, huge strikeout numbers. And I think that's something that is going to be a great boost to the rotation.
You know, there was a lot said about Garrett Crochet last year at the trade deadline. Is it to your understanding that he will pitch under this current contract, or is he going to need a new contract?
No, I mean, we are, you know, looking at this as right now we've got a guy that's got 2 years of control, and, you know, we are approaching this with no restrictions. Obviously, anything beyond that we'll explore when the time is right. But right now we're focused on 25 and 26 and being able to write his name in at the top of the rotation.
But there was no, you know, understanding that when you traded for him that he wouldn't pitch unless he had a new deal, because that was some of the conversation last year at the trade deadline. If he went to a contender, he wasn't going to throw unless he got a brand new deal.
Yeah, I mean, as far as I am concerned, this is a guy who has a full season as a starter under his belt and someone that's ready to take on the full workload of a true ace.
You mentioned, you just said true ace right there. You mentioned pencil him in at the top of the rotation. We're all excited about him, but there is a question about why the White Sox would move on if he's a bona fide ace. He's young, he's talented, he's cost controlled. So why was he available in the first place?
Yeah, you know, I don't think it makes a ton of sense to try to talk about whatever motivation or incentive another team had. I think we're incredibly excited about the fact that we're able to get him. And oftentimes, these things come together simply because teams are kind of in a different place in terms of their priorities and their focus on winning in the short term.
So let me ask another way, because it's fair to not try to get in their mind of another team. For all his talents, there are some red flags, right? Injuries, there's not a super long track record at the big league level. The contract demands that Keith brought up. What was the process you went through to become comfortable with those red flags?
Yeah, so these conversations, they started a year ago around Garrett. And then there are certain times during the year where naturally they flare up again, obviously around the trade deadline and then the winter meetings, GM meetings. And so we've got pretty extensive history, around the conversations and getting comfortable with Garrett, the performance, the stuff, the medical, and so we feel very comfortable with the work that we've done, our medical team reviewing his history, and most importantly, looking at the fact that he threw 150 innings as a starter last year, 150 dominant innings.
You know, there was a report from Ken Rosenthal in The Athletic that says, quote, after getting burned on nine-figure contracts for Sale and David Price, Red Sox owner John Henry is reluctant to award long-term deals to pitchers. So I don't know if there's anything you could say. Can you confirm that, deny that for us? Because I know a lot of fans want the team to spend this year, want the team to be aggressive, and then read something like this and are kind of disappointed.
Yeah, I mean, what I can say is I feel like we have the complete support from ownership to put a team on the field that is capable of contending for the division and making a deep postseason run. It's up to me. It's up to the team that we have in baseball operations to determine the best baseball decisions. But from a resources standpoint, we feel like we are very well supported.
Chief Baseball Officer of the Boston Red Sox, Craig Breslow, joining us here on WEEI. With all respect, we see you guys linked to a lot of players over the years. I think the last time aggressively the organization, and you just got here a year ago, but the last time the organization landed a big ticket free agent at the winter meetings might have been David Price. And so, Story was signed late. J.D. Martinez was signed late. You guys were linked to Juan Soto and made offers to Juan Soto. You made offers to Max Fried. Why should we believe in the resources committed there are real and not just the Red Sox are, as you get referred to from time to time, the interest kings?
Sure. I understand, and I think it's a fair question. But the reality is players make decisions about where they want to play for all kinds of reasons. And, you know, once players get to free agency, they have the right, they earn the right to determine, you know, the team they'll play for the first time. And so, you know, we will and we have and will continue to identify players that we think improve our team, will make aggressive pursuits. And, you know, my hope, my expectation is that we're going to continue to improve the team. And I think, you know, there's always momentum and excitement and enthusiasm when 30 teams get together, whether that's the trade deadline, the GM meetings, the winter meetings, to kind of accelerate transactions. But there will be some great decisions that were made at the winter meetings. There will be some decisions that probably won't play well over time, but the offseason is a long way from being over.
You know, we always, especially around this time, are coming up with our different lineups that we'd like to see out there for the Red Sox and, you know, maybe moving players around. And one name that gets brought up a lot is Rafael Devers. And not that he's moving off the team, but maybe moving off of third base. And Alex Cora was really adamant that he signed as a third baseman and he is a third baseman. I'm curious if you feel the same way, because a lot of us say, you know, he's led the league in errors for seven straight years. Maybe he isn't an everyday third baseman.
Yeah, no, Rafael Devers is our third baseman, and we're really excited about that. I think last year we saw some improvement in terms of the way he was able to move, particularly to his left, which you know, had not been as comfortable for him as to his right. And then toward the middle of the season, after there was a stretch where he almost single-handedly carried the team for a number of weeks, you know, he had knee injury, two shoulder injuries. I think that affected him probably more than he was willing to let on, because he wanted to play every day, wanted to do whatever it is that he could to help our team win. And so he is working hard right now. We've obviously made some changes to our coaching staff and feel like we're going to get the best out of him.
There was a report the other day from Mass Live. Sean McAdam cited an industry source. The Red Sox have interest in Alex Bregman. Alex Cora and Sam Kennedy are known to be big proponents of Bregman. The same source said members of baseball ops, including Chief Baseball Officer Craig Breslow, are more circumspect when it comes to the player. Is that accurate?
I don't think it makes any sense at all to talk about any individual players or free agent pursuits. I'm obviously aware of what was written. It came as a surprise, and I would say that Alex, Sam, baseball operations have incredibly open, honest conversations around a whole host of things, and there's nothing here. You know, we'll continue to make the best decisions that we can collectively to put the best team on the field, and that's really it.
You know, a lot has been made of the what was the big three, then it became the big four for prospects in the system. Kyle Teal, obviously a part of the Garrett Crochet trade, but Roman Anthony, Christian Campbell, Marcelo Mayer. I'm curious, as of right now, and I know it's early, but do you project those guys breaking through and being a part of the major league roster this year, assuming they're still on the team?
Yeah, you know, it's really difficult to forecast timelines outside of saying that, you know, a move like trading for Garrett, I believe, strongly signals that we are serious about competing in 2025. And along with that goes the reality that we need to put the best team on the field that we can across the players that are in the organization. So if any of those guys, if all of those guys, if none of those guys, you know, is ready to help our team, then we'll make those decisions accordingly. The way that I think about this is that, you know, we have a number of really exciting young players who have already emerged at the big league level, and a number of others, like the guys that you just mentioned, and Christian and Marcelo and Roman and others, who are likely to impact our team as soon as 2025. And it could be early in 2025, but I don't think it makes a ton of sense to pressurize that timeline right now.
You guys have been linked to some big ticket free agent arms. You've been linked to some arms on the trade market as well. Sounds like you're not done. Is it fair to expect another frontline starter in free agency or via trade?
it's really hard to, you know, to kind of share what we should expect, because if I've learned anything over the last 7 to 10 days, there are moments in time where you feel like something is really close. And, you know, at the drop of a hat, it feels like you're miles apart. The one thing that I can absolutely affirm is that we will continue to be aggressive in our pursuit of any path to improving our team. And that could come via starting pitching. It could come via a right-handed bat to help balance out the bullpen, the lineup, and we'll continue to build out the bullpen.
The first player, speaking of the bullpen, first player you guys signed in free agency was Aroldis Chapman. I'm curious, what did you see in him, and did his off-field stuff give you any pause in signing him?
Sure. So, actually, the first guy that we signed was another left-handed reliever in Justin Wilson that kind of went under the radar, but another proven left-handed veteran arm with good velocity and the ability to generate swings and misses. But, you know, sure, we're really excited about what Aroldis brings on the field, just in terms of an absolutely dominant fastball, one that has excited fans, players, teammates for a really long time. And it was something that we were sorely lacking, was swing and miss, and particularly swing and miss from the left side. So I think from a baseball perspective, it really checks that box. And then, look, of course, there was a very, very serious incident that took place with Aroldis, and a suspension that followed, after MLB's investigation. And it's something, any violation of the domestic violence policy is something that we take incredibly seriously. And we did an extensive workup and try to collect as much information as we possibly can. And speaking to teammates, officials, coaches, front office, and this is a player who has been in good standing with 5 organizations, and it wasn't that the references and testimonials that we got back were lukewarm. They were effusive with respect to the impact that Aroldis has had on teammates in the clubhouse, his diligent work ethic, the way that he has mentored some of the younger players, particularly some of the young Latin players. And so ultimately, we had to balance all of these considerations. We spoke with a number of people within our organization to make sure that we understood what we were doing. And at the end of the day, felt comfortable moving forward.
Okay. He is Red Sox Chief Baseball Officer Craig Breslow joining us here on WEEI. Craig, we appreciate the time. Thanks so much. Keep up the good work there at the winter meetings, and we'll talk soon.
Thanks. Have a great morning, guys.
All right, Craig. Thank you.
All right. Thanks to Craig Breslow joining us here on Jones and Keefe on WEEI. Let's dig in on some of that. Chapman, interesting answer there. Interesting answers about Bregman and what they're still going to do the rest of this offseason.
Devers, Crochet. Devers, a lot in there.
Devers is a third baseman.
Yeah, I guess.
Garrett Crochet is at the top of the rotation, which makes me wonder if they are done when it comes to adding arms. Full workup on Chapman. Good guy.
So everybody loves him.
We'll get to all of that coming up
here.
Not the
fans, but everybody else.
And more of your thoughts on the phone, 617-779-7937 on both Bill Belichick going to UNC and the Red Sox offseason. That's next.
Jones and Keefe.
Jones and Keefe on WEEI.
Get Boston Sports Original on the go wherever you go. Just download the Odyssey app.
You know, there was a lot said about Garrett Crochet last year at the trade deadline. Is it to your understanding that he will pitch under this current contract, or is he going to need a new contract?
No, I mean, we are, looking at this as right now we've got a guy that's got 2 years of control, and, we are approaching this with no restrictions. Obviously, anything beyond that we'll explore when the time is right. But right now we're focused on 25 and 26 and being able to write his name in at the top of the rotation.
But there was no, understanding that when you traded for him that he wouldn't pitch unless he had a new deal, because that was some of the conversation last year at the trade deadline. If he went to a contender, he wasn't going to throw unless he got a brand new deal.
Yeah, I mean, as far as I am concerned, this is a guy who has a full season as a starter under his belt and someone that's ready to take on the full workload. of a true ace.
Chief Baseball Officer Craig Breslow joined us earlier this hour.
You think friend of the show? No?
No, I think he...
Best bud?
I think he expected a little more excitement over the...
I'm excited.
I'm
excited about Garrett Crochet. I just wanted to make sure, is this guy signed to a long-term deal?
Yeah.
Or not, it doesn't sound like they are.
No.
At least not right now, it doesn't sound like they are.
No, it's clear it's not done. I mean, maybe they wake up in 6 months and sign him to an extension, but that's not done. That was not a prerequisite. They are not paying him. So will he be happy about it? Totally fair question by you. Great question
Thank
by you.
Thank you very much.
Interview's up now. Odyssey app, AUDACY. Get that on your phone.
Free. Get in there.
Easy. Take it with you wherever you go. A lot of driving this holiday season. So a good thing to have on your phone. You won't miss anything from WEEI. YouTube, it'll be up there shortly. Same thing, you can watch along here on Twitch. So, yeah, I think he anticipated a little more like excitement around Crochet, which we are.
We are legit excited about Crochet.
Like, I love that they made this move. I love that they gave up some prospects and got uncomfortable. I still wish they'd spend money, but...
No, they haven't spent money at all.
But if we're going to
What's Crochet make next year? Like, $10 million?
Oh, I think it's less.
Oh,
I think it's like $3 million.
It's like when they got Chris Sale.
Yeah.
Oh, Chris Sale's probably 10 or 13, but Chris Sale's more established. It's funny. Big, tall lefty from the White Sox, although Crochet is like 50 to 75 pounds heavier than Sale. But still, like, big lefty. The teams were bad. They moved on. And Sale pitched for a couple of really cheap years. He was the best contract in baseball for like 2 years, and then he was the worst contract in baseball for a few years and how that went. But Crochet at 25, and the only reason it's worth bringing up, it doesn't happen in this sport as much as some of the other sports. Right, like, oh, if you're going to trade me, I need a new contract. Like, in the NFL, wide receiver gets traded, he's getting a new contract. Right? That's just how it works. Baseball, it doesn't, but it was different with this guy at the deadline. He was like, I won't pitch out of the bullpen, which you're like, wait a minute. Because remember, Alex Cora, the year they won the World Series, I think every starter pitched out of the bullpen in that run.
Including the guy you mentioned
Sale
before.
Sale finished the game to win the World Series. So you're like, all right, well, that's not great. And like, maybe he's just trying to have some leverage in this situation. He was on a horrible, horrible White Sox team, and they were trying to, you know, get the most out of it. They didn't trade him. He was on like a innings restriction at the end of last year, coming off of Tommy John and everything else. So has he changed his tune? Like, is he going to come out there and pitch for nothing over the next couple of years? Like, we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, we will see. But that's disheartening to me. I said yesterday I'd pay him now. I'd pay him right now. You guys don't want to pay free agents. He's only going to get more expensive.
Oh, my God. If he's good for 2 years, which would be great, and he can help get you to the playoffs if he's, a big hoss of the week, a big hoss of the year. But in 2 years, like, we have people on the text line saying that. Like, in 2 years, what is he going to cost, and will the Red Sox spend it?
So that's if it works out. I mean, obviously, if he blows out his arm at his first start, then you avoided being on the hook for a bunch of money. So I see the other side of it, but... You just gave up four of your top 15 prospects, and I don't care about this, but I'm just saying.
Yeah, I'm good with that.
You gave up a lot of capital in this trade, and so to do that for a guy for 2 years and then risk losing him because you're afraid to pay anyone, that's not ideal. So I personally would pay him now, but if you wouldn't, you wouldn't. I think talking to him, it's clear he's done. It's not done.
He's not signing a contract, at least right now,
that there's
or
no,
the near future.
There's no extension that is in place, but... Again, I just think if we're going to have Breslow on, we should ask about the red flags because I think it's worth the risk with this player.
Same.
But you have to acknowledge there's risk. He has done it for 1 year at the big league level, and really it was a half a year. He said 146 innings and high-level innings, and they were, but it was a half a year. Mm-hmm. He's had Tommy John surgery. He's only cost-controlled for 2 more years, and he doesn't have to answer it, but I think it's fair to say if this guy's such a stud and he's an ace and he's young and he's cost-controlled and he's so great, why are the White Sox making him available? Mm-hmm. And he doesn't have to get inside their head. That was a fair answer by him.
Yep, right.
But there are a lot of red flags around this player. And would it be safer to go get somebody else in free agency? Will they get someone else in free agency or via trade? That's another thing, Keith, that after talking to him, I'm not as encouraged by. Doesn't sound to me, based on his answers, that they're getting another big ticket arm.
No.
Doesn't sound to me like they're getting Alex Bregman.
Yeah.
He said he didn't know where that reporting was from. He was certainly aware of it. But no, I wouldn't rule anything out.
Do you know that in his entire career, and I like him.
Yeah.
This isn't me pointing out the Coors Field stats with Trevor Story, because I didn't really like Trevor Story. And everyone's like, what's wrong with you? In his entire career, he's 25 years old, he has pitched in a game over 6 innings 3 times. You know what I'm saying? So, like, there is some risk. Like, he is certainly more established at the major league level than any of the players they just traded. Kyle Teal, he could be a Hall of Famer. He could be out of the league in 2 years. Yeah. That's the thing with prospects. We have no idea. At least this guy has shown at the major league level he can be dominant. He was an all-star last year, and then second half they had to manage his innings. But if he throws seven or eight, if he throws eight innings in a game, it'd be the first time he's ever done it in his career. And so, yeah, he hasn't pitched a ton, but that's also young guy managing him. It's how they do it in baseball.
Yeah.
So I'll take it. I'll take the upshot on Garrett Crochet.
I hope they're not done, but I like the, despite my tone, I like the move. I like it a lot, and I'm happy they did it. I didn't think they'd do it. So I give him a lot of credit for it. I like the move. But let's acknowledge there is risk in this player. And you could say there's risk in every player and every pitcher.
Especially
and sure,
pitchers.
You're right.
Especially pitchers.
But especially this guy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Especially, there's a reason the White Sox are giving up on him.
Yeah.
So you're assuming that risk. I like it. I think it's worth the roll of the dice. I would not be done if I were the Red Sox.
All right, well.
Oh, my God. There's a news story about from The Athletic about the Red Sox negotiations with Juan Soto.
Yes.
You know, behind the scenes. The Red Sox last meeting with Scott Boras was Saturday via Zoom, and they didn't discuss Juan Soto. That's when the team officials knew they weren't going to be a finalist.
So they knew on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
So why the nonsense about them being on the phone with him essentially right up until he made the decision?
Kings of interest,
because
baby.
Because people are dumb. What the American public doesn't know is what makes them the American public, from Tommy Boy. Zielinski was right.
It's infuriating. I said this earlier, don't argue with me about $65 million when the Dodgers have $1 billion payroll and John Henry is a billionaire. You're right there. You had a chance. You could have outdone the Mets from the start.
Mm-hmm.
And when Steve Cohen said, I'm going to go $50 million over everybody else, you could have said, we're going to go $75 million over everybody else.
They didn't want to play that game of chicken.
Well,
they told us they were playing it.
They said that we're in on them. There's a number based on what we don't know what that number is. I mean, I think we're all to believe, because of all the baseball people, that it was somewhere around $700 million. And they got to a point where it was like, well, they're going to outbid us here, and we're going to try in every way to hope that we can pull on Soto's heartstrings and roll out Pedro and roll out Big Poppy and be like the Dominican love and look what we've done with Dominican ball players here in Boston. They rolled all that out, and Soto said, nope, I want the cash, and I don't want it deferred. I want it all up front, and I want it now. I don't want it in 30 years. So I think that was part of maybe where the Red Sox are like, well, we're probably not going to get this guy.
What's next, Shine?
Well, maybe there is a guy the Red Sox could get. So Chris Cotillo over the weekend reported that the Red Sox are very much interested in Garrett Crochet, could be in the market for him. John Morosi talked about that. Here was what Morosi said about the possibility of the Sox getting Garrett Crochet.
The Crochet trade is getting closer, that it's now increasingly possible that he'll be moved while we're here, at least by Thursday of this week. And to Chris's reporting about the Red Sox, my response to that would be they're one player away from jumping right into this conversation, because they've got at the high end of their prospect group a shortstop in Marcelo Meyer, who I am told they are more willing to listen on and include in this deal than was originally thought. And so if Meyer becomes part of the conversation, then you can construct a deal that makes sense, I think, for both sides. The Red Sox are really high on Christian Campbell, who can play multiple up-the-middle positions right now, Tom. So, yes, we have to sort out Soto and the free agents like Fried and Burns, but I think a Crochet trade could be days away.
Okay.
All right. Well, that'd be good, right?
That would be good. Step in the right direction.
Mm-hmm.
So when Alex Speer on Sunday was saying the Red Sox were in on him, he was either lying or being lied to.
Correct.
They knew. They had a Zoom on Saturday. I'm reading it right now. And they didn't discuss Juan Soto with Scott Boras. Like, God, you guys, stop being played by this ownership group. They don't give a damn about
you. So what was the conversation then?
Probably about other clients.
Who's Crochet's
he's not agent? He would be a sign. It would be a trade. He wouldn't be signing.
No, but I mean, they potentially, could they have gotten to the point where it's like, listen, We're not going to get Soto, but you got everybody else in Major League Baseball. Who could we potentially go after? Because if you really look at it, where the Red Sox are, and listen, I was all over Juan Soto. But where did
just like you were all over Shohei. Shohei, and both like, oh, good move.
But they weren't in on Shohei.
I'm glad we didn't get Shohei.
Stop it. The Shohei thing, we knew they were never in on Shohei.
They were not a finalist for Juan Soto.
Listen, I had said I would love for them to be in on Shohei. Just me. That's what I said.
So, Curtis, who do you think it came down to? I mean,
the two New York teams.
Okay. So Yankees, Mets, yep. And the Red Sox were just there to bid it up at the beginning.
And as I said all along, it was mutually beneficial for
Scott. But were they bidding?
They were nowhere near $700 million. They were not a legitimate player for Juan Soto. No.
I will say Sean McAdam and others are saying they put a $700 million offer.
I bet you that's what they're being told.
Curtis will tell you that's all lies.
Well, so work with me. If they were at $700 million on Saturday morning, they're on the phone with the agent of the guy they're offering more than they paid for the team, and his name doesn't come up? Guys, like, open your ears.
Because Boris says, listen.
If you really want him, you just say, hey, give us last and final.
Right.
Like, if last and final was $765.
Okay, but why did the Mets get last and final? Like, if
48 hours after you spoke to him.
If he loves Pedro, he loves David Ortiz, he's always been a Red Sox fan.
Right.
Like, why don't you get last and final? We'll give him $770.
Because Boris said, listen, $700 is not getting it done. You want to get up to $750, $760? Okay, we'll have a conversation. But don't even utter Juan Soto's name out your mouth if you're not willing to come up off of $700 million.
Here's somebody, Curtis, in the Twitch chat, Dubs, who says, you don't offer $700 million as a publicity stunt. LMAO.
Well, it's legitimately that exactly.
No, it isn't, because now people are going to be like, well, why not?
Dubs, do you know what publicity stunt means?
But the baseball Brets of the world are going to be like, now take that $700 million and go after all these, you know, three, four, five players that are instantly going to make your team better, because they're going to add more to positions that you need than just one player.
Forget about us, okay? Saturday morning, the buzz around the 5K and everywhere was, this is the day we find out.
Yep.
Little did we know that the Red Sox brass had moved on entirely to the point that they spoke with the person representing Juan Soto on Saturday morning and didn't even use his name.
Because
by Saturday, the Red Sox began to sense their chances fading.
Right.
Team officials met that day via video conference with Scott Boras, who appeared to be in a hotel room, but they did not discuss Juan Soto.
Because they knew they were out.
They should have said, can we have one more question?
Nope.
Can we have one more chance?
I'm doing the same thing if I'm Boras' agent. Don't even utter my client's name.
You mean so if you're Boris?
Don't even have his name hit your lips unless you're willing to get to $750 million. So they're like, listen, all right, we're out of this one. Hey, what about these other players, Scott?
All right, what's next, Shine?
Well, a conversation we have had on this program before about possible head coaching opportunities or openings would be Kyle Shanahan. Apparently, there were rumors circulating that the 49ers and Bears had discussed a trade of Shanahan to Chicago. Shanahan was asked about that after absolutely lighting up the Bears yesterday afternoon. Here is the question and Shanahan's response.
There's been some rumors on the webs that you could be traded to Chicago, and John called them comical. Do you have a word to describe those rumors?
I mean, I don't know why they come out, but, like, that's, I mean, I don't want to be any place in the world more than here, and my family feels just as strong, if not a lot stronger. So, you know, I hope you guys are going to have to kick me out of here, so there's no way I'm making that decision.
Yeah, Shanahan, why would you, like, so there's rumors that they're going to trade him to Chicago?
Yes.
No. I mean, why would you want to leave?
Well, it wouldn't be his choice.
All right, so why would you trade a good coach when you look at what Shanahan's been able to accomplish? We all agree he's a good coach. I think their biggest issue is the quarterback.
Right.
So why would you move on from a good coach and now you're going to still find yourself in a situation where now the next guy you bring in, who is that? Is he going to be as good or better than Shanahan? Why roll those dice?
Never in a million years. Yeah. I would not get rid of Shanahan, especially the way he's coaching offense in today's NFL.
No. No, I would just be like, all right, we got to make a decision. Is Brock Purdy the guy that's going to take this team to where we need it to be taken to?
And they lose their best player on offense. Yeah, and I mean, insert like a rookie running back, and he scores three touchdowns.
Well, I mean, you have to get like the McCaffrey injury. He was gone for almost the whole entire season.
He played one game, two games.
You get a little excuse for that, I think.
Right, but then he's been able. Shanahan, as a great coach, has shown I can maybe not replace the production you get from McCaffrey, but I can find another guy. Their biggest question, and I think if you were to go to the Bay Area and ask anybody from there, the biggest question is Brock Purdy the guy? Can he get this team over the hump to winning the Super Bowl?
Speaking of this, somebody in the Twitch chat moments ago said that when it comes to the Juan Soto sweepstakes, the Red Sox are essentially Amen Corner. They took her to the prom. She doesn't even remember what their name is.
Yeah. No.
I mean,
it's just so amazing.
I mean, like, you guys, I've never heard of this name in my life.
I mean, that's kind of what happened here.
Wiggy, they don't even talk about the guy that we believe that you're saying that they had $700 million on the table for on Saturday morning.
Yeah, but what's amazing is, no matter, they could have said $800 million, and you'd be like, no, that's not real.
Well, if
there
Scott
could be
Boris,
30 MLB inside is all saying that they were in on him.
They weren't, though.
So all those insiders are all lying.
No, that Saturday morning.
We're talking not about Saturday, but $700 million.
Right,
no
way.
They were in on him if they could get him for $600 million,
right.
I guess.
We found out about the $700 million on Sunday. They didn't even speak on Saturday. It's spin wings.
No, but there was information about the $700 million maybe on Friday that the Red Sox...
Curtis is saying that's what they are telling
right.
people. Is they are telling people that they offered.
So you're saying
right,
on
so
Friday...
You know, it doesn't matter what anybody says,
no,
then.
I'm
it
saying,
really doesn't matter whether it's Sean Heyman, whether it's Jeff Passan, whether it's... Right.
So if you have
any baseball insider...
Okay, let's just focus on the facts that we have in front of us. If you have a $700
million...
We don't
have any facts.
If you have a $700 million right. offer... You don't mention his name?
We don't have any facts. If you have a $700 million
right.
offer
right.
and Scott Boras says, don't utter my client's name unless you're willing to go to $750.
You would utter his name.
No,
of course you would.
Why? If you knew.
You've invested all this time and resources into pursuit of him.
But if you know you're not going higher than it's like if you're selling your house and you say, I'm not going anything under $800,000, and somebody is like, hey, listen, we'll give you $700,000 for it. And you're like, don't even bring it up unless you're willing to start at 8.
I would understand and agree with you on most cases.
Right.
The Red Sox newspaper.
But you're believing.
Wiggy, you just,
see,
Wiggy,
no.
Because
Wiggy,
their own newspaper.
We're having, Curtis, we'll never be able to have a factual conversation
okay,
with
we
you.
We can't have a conversation if you just talk.
We can't have a conversation with you when you always want to switch it to like, no matter what anybody says, it's a lie. Your disdain for the Red Sox front office and ownership.
You're sucking up to them.
It has nothing to do with it.
It's only equaled by his disdain for the great Bill Belichick.
Oh, my
right.
God. So
he's
like,
got too many opportunities.
So, right.
He's full of disdain, this fellow.
Right.
This
so
fringe.
How can we have a conversation when everybody that's in the baseball world has said this? The Red Sox went in at $700 million. But when we bring that up, Curtis goes, I don't believe that. It was all...
Permission to speak freely.
Yes.
Okay. This began in California with a dinner with Juan Soto that went for 3 hours where they didn't talk money, correct?
Yes.
Yeah.
According to all the reports.
Because right. we didn't know what the market was.
And it ended with a Zoom call on Saturday morning before he signed without his name being mentioned. And you would have me believe that they offered $700 million, didn't know the resolution of the deal, and sat there and said, how's the weather?
Everybody that is not even the baseball world.
Hey, that looks like a nice hotel. Is that a Holiday Inn?
Do they include breakfast?
So here's Curtis's point, because I'm going to do what he does. So everybody that was following the Juan Soto thing knew that it was going to cost you somewhere close to $700 million. $660, $680, yeah. $700 million. The only team The only people who didn't know that were the Red Sox. But he wants you to believe that. Stop
That's
it.
What he, yes.
Stop it.
All right, I don't know what you just said.
What I'm saying is, like, the what I'm saying to you is they knew that it was going to cost them $700 million to be able to play ball with Juan Soto. So they're not wasting 3 hours and back and forth right. and second
meetings. They played ball with the fans, not
you
with
know
Juan
what, Curtis?
Soto.
We'll never be able to have a real... When it comes to Bill and it comes to the Red Sox brass, we'll never be able to have a factual conversation with Curtis because his hatred towards them...
I love baseball.
His hatred towards them...
Is there hatred in his heart?
Oh, it outweighs any common sense.
Right. Not this time of year. Right. Like, this is the most joyous time of
it
year.
It really is. Oh my God. I was at the Pops yesterday. It was awesome. Oh, yeah. James loved it. Big day.
Oh, did he enjoy it?
He did. I would just say to Keith Lockhart, fan of the show, I'm sure, if it's the kids' matinee, let's keep it, you know, like Christmas songs that everybody knows.
Oh, they were doing songs
like
you didn't
songs
know?
I never heard in my life. And you have all these little kids.
Any Mannheim Steamroller?
No Mannheim Steamroller. But,
really?
But they do introduce the Pops now as America's Orchestra, and that made me feel good.
I think they deserve to be that.
Incredibly right. talented.
We're going to have a quick hug out during the break, and we will be right back.
Alex Cora, winter meetings, talking with, was that TC, I think?
Yeah.
Yeah. Who's been chatting with everyone. Had that chat with Breslow, talking with Cora. Cora's speaking to everybody in the media the other day.
All smiles, and now I agree with the smiles. It was not appropriate to leave the Soto experience like, hey, that was a great experience. Now it's appropriate to leave the crochet experience and say, that was a good experience.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Absolutely.
You landed the fish.
Yep.
You're like Bill Belichick on the beach with his girlfriend. You reeled in crochet. We can all be happy now.
Yes, you can. Alex Cora probably not as involved in that process maybe as he was in the courting of Juan Soto or wherever other whatever other free agents that they're going for. But still, I mean, doesn't matter. Chris Cotillo has this up. He says, the return to Chicago includes both of Boston's last two first-round picks. Teal, widely regarded as one of the best catching prospects in baseball, and Montgomery, an outfielder from Texas A&M, who was taken 12th overall in July but has yet to make his pro debut due to injury. Madroth was a phenomenal on-base skills, reached AAA in 2024. Gonzalez, Wickelman Gonzalez, formerly considered one of the top pitching prospects in the organization, faced real struggles in 2024. The Red Sox are giving up number 4, 5, 11, and 14 prospects in their system. Teal ranks as the 25th best prospect in all of baseball. Montgomery, 54th. So there you go. A 22-year-old, Kyle Teal I'm talking about right now, catching prospect who was the centerpiece of this deal and part of the big four of Red Sox prospects. I'm not super concerned about this. He was a catcher who didn't really catch young enough that I think you move on and see what happens, and you wish him well in Chicago, and, you know, God bless. But if this is what it takes to get a frontline starter here, then you make this deal every single time. I'm not seeing a lot of tears being shed about Kyle Teal.
No, I'm not going to find the negative in the first positive we've had in a long, long time with the Boston Red Sox. And you and I talked about it yesterday. You go 50% on prospects, and that's probably a good rate. So let's just hope you let the right ones go, and you're keeping the right ones for the course of time here for development and within the organization. I'm not doing it. I'm not going to turn the best thing they've done in years into a bitch fest, at least not until 5 o'clock. When it's a bitching hour, maybe we can look back. Maybe I'll hear something, but nope. You kept your top three prospects, and you added one of the best young left-handed ace arms in baseball. Like, no, I'm not going to bitch about that.
The only people who should be bothered at all by this, if you even want to say that, is people who are big-time Kyle Teal fanatics and said you can't trade him. He's going to be the next Johnny Bench or whatever, and like, you know, something like that. If you were dead set, and there's people like that. You know these prospect people. They find the guy they like, they latch on, and if you trade him, they lose their mind. And I haven't seen a lot of that with Kyle Teal. You might have seen it with Meyer. You definitely would have seen it with Roman Anthony. You probably would have seen it with the other guys, but not really so much anything here. And I think that's maybe not so much a testament to the fact that Kyle Teal's so great or overrated or anything like that, but that it's a catching prospect. They have other prospects. He wasn't, you know, at the top of the list or anything like that, and you got a pretty big fish for him. You know, it's not like you traded him for a bunch of relievers or you traded him for a couple of questionable guys.
Lefty hard-throwing ace.
You did.
Find a catcher.
In theory, you did.
In theory. This is all theory. It's a theory that Teal will ever even play in the big leagues, never mind be good.
Of course, but with Garrett Crochet, there is a lot of uncertainty with him. I mean, he's not a slam dunk. He's not Corbin Burns. You know what I mean? Like, he's not someone who has had such a long history of dominance that you look at it and say, there's no way they lose this trade. This guy's going to be great forever and ever. Now, I think that he will be. I think that he will be good. And if he stays healthy, I think he can be a special player for the Red Sox and lead them places that they haven't been in a while. But he is not a guaranteed ace. I mean, he is not someone that has a long resume and a long track record of dominance and excellence and Cy Young voting and all that other stuff. Like, no, that's not what we're talking about.
The one-year wonder.
He has that potential, though.
Absolutely.
He does have that potential.
And, now this is a little gullible, Andy, optimistic.
Here we
really
go.
No, he got Tommy John out of the way.
Right.
He's already past that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm only half
Although
joking.
Although he wouldn't be the first guy to get it twice.
No, that is true, yeah. But I feel like every pitcher's getting it at least once. It feels like that's what modern baseball is. He got it out of the way, so he's ready. He's moved past that. He's coming off his best year. He's going to expand his innings, although I do feel like we might be talking about sometime around July and August, like, well, you know, starting to get up there in innings, and he's never done this before, and do we need to manage that? And that's not exactly a conversation. I want to have a horse. I want a legit horse, but we'll deal with that when it comes. I'd rather also on opening day be like, I can't wait to see Crochet pitch today.
Yeah. I'd like to see that too.
Otherwise, I was prepared. What did I told you in the emails? Angry Andy was coming out.
Oh
today.
Yeah, I was ready for Angry Andy.
LGA was out the door. I murdered him. His alter ego did the deed, and now Angry Andy was here. No,
we were expecting AEA.
Angry
Elf Andy.
I was wondering what the E was. I was actually trying to speak and think at the same time, which is difficult for me. I was running the E's through
tough
my head.
Tough for all of us. Anyway, sorry.
Son of a bitch.
It was a cheap shot.
But now Angry Andy is like the Hulk. He goes back in. The clothes are ripped, but I've shrunk to my normal size again.
It's what we call low-hanging fruit. Okay, that was it. That was the last
Jesus.
One. That was the last one, at least until
okay,
the next
Okay, well,
segment.
If you can do it then, the Red Sox crocheted themselves an ace. Okay, now we're done. We're moving on.
All right.
Go
please,
out of the calls.
Please,
let's
my God.
Let's bring Angry Andy back. That was rough.
617-779-7937 is the phone number. We got open phone lines here if you want to react to the Garrett Crochet trade. I know a lot of you do. Dave is in Connecticut. Go ahead, Dave.
Hey, love the trade. That's a great trade for the Red Sox for the future.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to talk about Rafi Devers.
Okay.
And I don't understand that. The guy's a great hitter. Get into the DH role like Big Poppy did at the end of his career. He's already been paid. He doesn't have to go out and play third base and embarrass himself anymore. We could bring in a Bregman, bring somebody who could play that position. I don't understand why he won't just, I mean, this is like a home run for him. It's just, you know, you can get a professional hitter and not have to go out in the field and have to worry about fielding balls and making errors.
Dave, it's fine with me. They want to move Rafael Devers over to third base and sign a real third base. It's fine with me. I have no problem with that.
Imagine how chunky he'll get if he doesn't play the field.
I mean,
he's already kind of chunky.
All right, but he also sucks at playing the field. So
he kind of does.
You want to upgrade your third baseman? I'm fine with that. Yeah, and I don't care how chunky.
I have no problem. I mean, you have issues right now because Yoshi's also a DH.
And he's a butcher in the
Speaking
field.
Speaking of trades and back. Logs and log jams and all kinds of things. Like, those are some of the issues that need to be worked out. Bregman, I know Alex Cora was very adamant that Devers is their third baseman. They went to him out of respect because of the Bregman rumors, and I don't know how much I believe that.
Yeah.
But I'd be fine with Devers going to DH full-time.
Yeah, it's fine with me. What am I going to complain about that? That's probably where he belongs. It's probably where he's belonged all this time.
But by the way, if he does that, I don't want any of these injuries, his shoulders bothering him, late the year, tail off. No. Because you're not diving anymore. You're not doing anything.
No.
You just hit, which means I want career highs across the board.
Ortiz got injured sometimes, too, you know. He was a DH.
He also was clutch as hell and put up a lot of numbers.
Certainly did.
Devers needs to give me more return on my investment for my $300 million. $300 million.
Although that seems like a quaint contract these days.
The Red Sox pull off a stunner of a trade. Curtis, the brilliance when it comes to Craig Breslow and that organization over there, right in your face this Christmas season.
Breslow is at a new high.
Uh-huh. So those guys coming up at 10. Of course, Monday we will be at Gillette Stadium, and it is a Patriots Monday, so Boomer Esiason and Gerard Mayo on this show on Monday. This is Dave from Connecticut. Hey, Dave.
Hey, Merry Christmas, everybody.
You too.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Just a quick thing on Bill Belichick. I went to UConn. I played soccer there. It was a main sport when I was there. UConn tried to be a football program. It never will be. It's a basketball school now. It's been for a long time. North Carolina is a basketball school. It's a moot point to say if Bill Belichick wins a national championship, it's better than a – it doesn't matter. He doesn't even care. He's there for 2 years. He's setting up his son. It's his end game. He's got 3 years. He's not doing five years. It's his end game.
Oh, so okay, so you think he's only going to go there for 2 years, even though the deal is for five, and he's what, Wiggy?
Yeah. Can I ask Dave a question?
Yeah.
Just real simple.
Yeah, sure.
You look like you can't wait.
Okay.
Yes.
Now, when I bring up the University of Indiana or Indiana University, first thing that pops into your mind, it is a
basketball
school.
Hoosiers.
Used to be.
Hoosiers, right? Guess where they?
Yeah.
Guess where they are this year? They are playing in the college football playoffs, so they have a legitimate chance of.
You think they'll win it, Wiggy? Do you think they'll actually have a chance of winning it?
Listen. If you're in it, you got a chance. That's what I know.
Right,
so
well, that's not the question.
You know what's really ironic? You know what's ironic about this whole thing is that UConn is playing North Carolina at Fenway Park. Neither one of those teams will ever be a football program.
Okay.
They won't.
Well, the Hoosiers look like a pretty good football program.
I would just like to say, when I was at UConn for my brief 2-year stint, we did go to the Fiesta Bowl and get blown out by Sam Bradford.
Right.
So.
Oklahoma. I just
did you get free chips and salsa while you were there?
No, I didn't get to go to the Fiesta Bowl because it's in like Arizona.
Did you drive there and walk, or did you say you walked?
Oh, Baseball Brett is on the phone this morning. Heard him on the Ken and Curtis show on Saturday. Hi, Baseball Brett.
Good morning. How are we?
How are we feeling about the Red Sox this morning?
Well, step one has been accomplished. So you get yourself an ace. So that was kind of step one. Now Curtis is 100% right, as always. They haven't spent any money. So I think that comes with a hitter, and I think they're going to trade for another pitcher. So I think I told you going into the offseason, Greg and company, I told you that they needed two starting pitchers. They needed an ace, and they needed another pitcher. They needed a right-handed bat. So I think that's what you're going to get, but I think the hardest part was accomplished yesterday.
What are the odds that Costas?
I love the kid.
What are the odds that Costas is on the roster opening day?
Looks like slim.
I love it.
Yeah, looks like slim. I think
you want him out of here.
Well, he's going to be dealt for a really talented pitcher with the Mariners potentially.
Yeah.
So I actually. So we talked about it on Saturday, Curtis, right? So I think that you could trade Tristan Cassis, get yourself another top line pitcher, and then you can supplement that with a right-handed bat at first base, right? So you can kind of balance out the lineup. That's the right-handed hitter that you need. You would pay for the bat, but the swap in from Cassis to that pitcher is not going to be a lot of salary, if that makes sense. So I think, you know, whether that's trading for Nolan Arenado, whether that's Christian Walker, the kid out of Arizona, whether that's Pete Alonso, there's a lot of right-handed bats that could fit into first base. So I think it looks like Tristan Cassis is going to be a big trade chip.
So you don't think that they're one and done? Like you don't think they're going to fool themselves that they made this trade and the faith has been reinvested? You think they're going to keep dealing?
No, I don't think this ownership likes to overpay on pitching. I think pitching, and I've talked about this for years with you guys, is that when you hit 29, 30, that's not the right time to invest in pitching, right? There's so many issues that go on. There's so many contracts that are just bad. Not to say that I wouldn't do it. I'm just saying that ownership doesn't like it. I think they like young, quality-controlled pitching, economic pitching, and I think they want to supplement the roster with bats. And I think you can get away with a Bregman or, you know, someone that's a little bit older. I think that's what they're going to pay for. So I still think they're going to get – whether they trade for a pitcher, whether they add another pitcher, they're going to add at least one more starter, and they're going to acquire a right-handed bat. I'm certain of it. And bullpen. So I think that would be the next few dominoes to fall. I don't think they're done. If they're done, they're just stupid because they have a legit window. No one really talks about this. With Juan Soto leaving the Yankees, they have and Corbin Burns leaving Baltimore Orioles if he doesn't resign, the AL East is wide open.
So,
like, wide open.
So,
who would you put in a power position in the AL East right now?
I would say that you're right. It is wide open because Toronto, who the hell knows what they're going to do? It looks like they're trying to move on from Vlad Guerrero. So would you be in on Corbin Burns then, 30-year-old pitcher that's going to be looking for a nice payday?
Me, yes. But I think what the Red Sox are going to try to do, yes. I think I personally would, because I think you'd get 4 to 5 years out of him, okay, right? And then you'd have to eat the remaining years. I think what the Red Sox are going to try to do would be to trade Casas for a controllable pitcher, whether that's a kid out of Pittsburgh, whether that's a kid out of Seattle, if Seattle ever wants to move their pitching. I think they're going to do that, and I think they're going to bring in a first baseman or a right-handed bat. That's the direction I think the Red Sox are going to go in, Wiggy, mm-hmm, whether I want to do it or not. I think that's – and I don't mind that approach, right? Like, pitching is so temperamental. Those contracts are so temperamental that I like the approach. As long as you can lock up Garrett Crochet and as long as you have 4 or 5 years left of the pitcher that you get, that's a really, really good direction to go in. That makes the Red Sox a really, really strong program moving forward. I think it's a sustainable winner. That's what you want, right? You want winning.
Thank you, baseball, Brett.
Yep.
You're welcome, guys. Have a great day. Bye, okay. Greg.
All right.
There you go.
You have it.
Well,
okay.
Diehard right there. So he likes the moves. He'd be in on Corbin Burns. It'd be nice if they could do it. But he is in line when you think about the AL East, right, being wide open, you know, especially if Burns does move.
How big of an issue is Rafael Devers? The contract, where he fits on the team, it sounds like they're not sold on him at third base. Good. I know Cora said yesterday at the winter meetings.
Cora went like heavy, like he's a third baseman. He signed as a third baseman.
We paid him as a third baseman. He did say for now at the end of it. For now, he's the third baseman of the Boston Red Sox. But I think it's a problem. And I think the fact they're sniffing around on Arenado or they're sniffing around on Bregman, even if Bregman can play second base, they're acknowledging that Devers, A, isn't a leader, and B, isn't a third baseman. It's a problem.
Yeah, no, Devers to me is a very good player. He's not a great player, and you paid him great player money and at a time where you let great players go, or at least one specifically great player go. Devers to me is a perfect complement. Like, if you have Devers and Betts, or if you had Devers and Soto, right, if you had Devers and Judge, like, okay, good player. Like, I don't want to, like, bash the guy. He's 30 homers, 90, 100 RBI, depending on the season. Like, that's good. You'll take that. But he's not good at third base, despite what Cora says. He, like, all bad defenders have stretches where you're like, oh, actually he's pretty good. But then no, he goes right back to being bad again defensively.
He's led the league in errors at third base 7 years in a row.
So like, what are we, like, come on.
He's
like,
DH. What?
Right, he could be first base. I'm like, I'm not even sure about that.
I wouldn't.
Why mess around with that?
If you trade, I would not trade Casas to make room for Devers at first base is how I would put it. If you have Casas and Devers, I don't think Casas is great at first base either. But if you have him, Devers is a DH, which, by the way, can be very productive.
Yeah.
I mean, David Ortiz is a DH here forever. Not to say he's David Ortiz.
Yeah.
But, all right, focus on hitting. It's all you do anyway. You're not a leader. You can't play the field.
No.
Focus on being a DH. You're overpaying for him, but fine. But it's acknowledging that he's an imperfect player and an imperfect leader on this team.
He's not a leader, right? There were times when they'd have a losing streak. He'd disappear, like things like that. It's just not in him. I don't think you can change that from him, and that's why you need somebody else. I bet they are regretting paying him that kind of money and giving him that contract and thinking he could be the face of the franchise because he can't. It's also part their fault. Had they just signed Mookie Betts and then given Devers the same deal, he's not under as much pressure.
No, nope.
He can just go out there and smash the ball.
Bunch of money for Bregman, or would you trade for Arenado?
I think they're both on the downside. Bregman's probably got a little bit more left in the tank, so I'd probably just Bregman.
I mean, Arenado,
I love Arenado. He's one of my favorite players ever, but I would right now I'd take Bregman.
Arenado's not going to cost you much in terms of prospects, but he's going to cost you something.
And I don't think he can hit like he can anymore. Like
Bregman.
He used to.
Bregman's the answer. Bradford told us yesterday. You can go seek that out on the Odyssey app.
But do I need Bregman playing second base?
No. I want him at third.
Yeah.
And moving Devers if you're signing Bregman. I'm not bringing in Bregman to play second and leaving Devers at third.
What
That's
do you
pointless.
Do with Yoshida? Guy's got to play.
If you missed any of Brad Foe yesterday, though, good intel on, Bregman, number one. He also mentioned something. It jumped out to me in real time. I kind of forgot about it by the end of the interview. He mentioned Zach Gallen.
Yeah.
And I'm like, why is he bringing up Zach Gallen? What's that all about? Well, maybe it coincides with Sean McAdam. Gallen, by the way, a pitcher for the Diamondbacks, starting pitcher. McAdam says, I don't know that the Red Sox are going to be successful going after Max Fried and Corbin Burns when you see some of the other big market teams ready to go dollar for dollar there.
Oh, no, they're going to miss out on these guys, too?
So if that happens.
No way.
So if they don't.
That'd be crazy.
Teams are. Notice it didn't say blow them out of the water. It said go dollar for dollar.
No, they're going to.
Holler.
The Yankees are now desperate to sign guys.
Yeah.
The Dodgers may or may not have been in on Soto, so they feel like they have more money to spend. The Mets probably even told Soto they would get him more guys to play with them. The Blue Jays had a lot of money offered. They didn't get anybody.
Nope.
The Red Sox are going to lose out to all the other top guys.
Okay. Corbin Burns, Max Fried, teams want to go dollar for dollar. They might be pivoting to Zach Gallen. How do you deal with the Rafael Devers problem?
I think I'd actually rather have Gallen.
Oh, interesting. Well, maybe we can follow up
Zach
on this.
Gallen.
617-779-7937. That's coming up here on Jones and Keefe. We'll get to the Celtics before the hour's out. And it is a Tier Tuesday. We'll tier off the top teams and the Patriots in the NFL right after Trending with Billy Lanning.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
The Bruins are in Winnipeg tonight to play the Jets. David Pastrnak missed yesterday's practice with an upper body injury and is listed as day-to-day. Face-off at the Canada Life Center is at 8 o'clock. According to Adam Schefter, the New England Patriots are waiving wide receiver K.J. Osborne. It was a mutual decision. At Patriots practice yesterday, offensive tackle Caden Wallace returned to the practice field after being placed on the IR in Week 4 with an ankle injury. Patriots players are off today and will return to practice tomorrow. This Sunday, the Pats will be in Arizona to play the Cardinals. On Monday Night Football, the Bengals defeated the Cowboys 27-20 in Dallas. Boise State's Ashton Gentry, Colorado's Travis Hunter, Miami's Cam Ward, and Oregon's Dylan Gabriel were all named finalists for this season's Heisman Trophy Award, and the Celtics will return to the court Thursday night when the Seas host the Pistons. I'm Billy Lanning. That's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com.